the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Yay! Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 175 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks. Man, we've got a great show planned for you this week. The band Mikey and Maddie will be joining us. And it's actually Mikey and Maddie of the band Mikey and Maddie. And believe that, going places, people. We are going places. Very nice dudes. Mike and Matt Gervaisi. One of the two, one of the three. They're going to be joining me here in the backyard soon. They are fantastic dudes. Very talented, too. They've got an album out right now that's called Harbor Island, which you should definitely go and check out. Maybe 5-6 albums that I have on heavy, heavy rotation. Right. For the last year, let me see if I can do this. Everybody's doing their year end, like what's their top 13, top 10, whatever. I've got like maybe a top 5 or top 6. The one that I can think of in the last like year, this is maybe like 2 years ever since it came out, Eric Blood's Touchscreens, the album Touchscreens. That has been on heavy rotation for the last 2 years. Cataldo's upcoming album, who we will talk to shortly in an upcoming episode. Their upcoming album, which isn't out yet, has been on heavy rotation. And Mikey and Maddie's album, Harbor Island, has been on heavy, heavy rotation. It's one of those albums that just, you know, man, there are some songs on here, man, that just grab you, and they cannot let go. I love it, and it's great. It's great. We're gonna have a good conversation. Something happened during, we were about to take the first or the second musical break in this show, and something happened to my computer. I don't know what exactly it was. I think it was. It just decided to update itself, right? So these Windows computers, man, they decide to update whenever they're ready to update, and it just shut everything down. Like, I didn't even have a chance to save it, right? It just shut everything down. That didn't seem right. Shouldn't there be, like, some sort of fail-safe in here that says, okay, well, there's programs still running, maybe we shouldn't shut it down, right? That doesn't seem, God damn it. Yeah, and so anyway, we lost like the first half of the show, and then had to re-record all that stuff that we talked about. But anyway, it was great to get to know. It allowed us to get to know each other a little bit better, me and Mike and Matt, and it was great. Yeah, super fun, super good dudes. Can't wait for you guys to hear it, and we'll be showing that to you here pretty quick. Couple things. We had the little Naked City breakfast and Seahawks game this morning there at Naked City on Greenwood Avenue. I got a little day drunk, not going to lie. Got a little day drunk, and now I'm, like, super tired. I am awfully tired, you guys. Maybe I'll tell you about this next week. I don't know. My buddy Kevin calls me up Friday, says, hey, Newman, our other buddy, just got an Xbox One. Let's go to his house and play it. And so I'm, you know, being kind of into video games and stuff. I want to see the next gen systems. And so I go over there, and lo and behold, he also bought this new entertainment center, which he wants to have put together. So me and Kevin, being the great friends that we are, start in on this entertainment center, right? We just start in building this thing. It takes us like 4 or 5 hours to build this thing. We started at like 9:30 at night, ended at like, you know, 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. And then, you know, Newman's got to put all of his wires in all over the place and get those all coordinated. And so we don't even fire up this new Xbox until like 3:30 in the morning. And by that time, I'm beat, man. I put together this fucking thing for him. And then I just go home. I get home. I can't sleep on the bed because my kid is in there, sprawled out every which way. And so I sleep on the couch, and then she wakes me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got like an hour of sleep. I was going on an hour of sleep for Saturday. It was awful. It was awful. And then, doing everything else. And then now, fast forward to Sunday, wake up super early, go to the Hawks game down at Naked City, which was awesome, have some rad breakfast, hang out with some great people. Thanks for coming if you came to the shindig. And then drink beer all morning. Great idea. And now I'm just dying. I'm just dying. I need a nap. Need a nap, folks. Need to do it. We had a great time. Thank you for coming. If you did, to Naked City, it was a great football game. Yeah, it was awesome. We urge you guys, like always, go and try out Naked City Brews. Because they are some fantastic, fantastic guys that run that place, Brian and Donald, and they are masters of brewing beers. Like I'm not that big of a beer guy, but I will drink their beer, and that's why they're sponsoring us. That's why I wanted somebody like that sponsoring this show, because they're just fantastic, and it's a good product, and we wouldn't do it if it wasn't, right? Yeah, so go and check them out, Naked City Brewery. Type that into a Google search, or you can go visit them here in North Seattle on Greenwood Avenue. They're open for you. And tell them that you heard about them from us. That way we're helping everybody out, right? Yeah, and they can continue to help us keep the lights on here, as they say. Naked City, guys. I'm actually, during this episode, we were enjoying some duplicity, and we talk about that a little bit. But, let's get down to it, shall we? Let's do this. Mikey and Maddie, this is off of the album Harbor Island. This song is called Floor Underneath Us, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast with special guests this week, Mike and Matt Gervais. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay with us. Did you expect to find here some kind of grand design, some reason why the letters never unfold? It's a great reminder when the sun is sinking low. Just a little time it took to watch the distance grow. Ourselves with hoping some part of it it hold true. It's a great reminder when the sun is sinking low. Just a little time it took to watch the distance grow. Thank you. now I got to do this all over again. Mikey and Maddie joining me here in the backyard. Welcome, guys, to the show.
Thanks for having
us. For the
us.
Second time.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This is great.
We just kind of experienced a mass loss of all data on the computer. This is a... So are you guys Mac people?
Well, yes, we are.
See, that's what I'm finding out. Like, all musicians that deal with, like, computers on a regular basis are all Macs.
Uh-huh.
All Mac users.
For the most
pretty
part,
much.
Yeah.
Except for Peter Fedofsky.
Yeah.
Who's
else.
That?
That's our keyboard player.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a funny joke, Mike. That wasn't funny.
It was a diss.
Yeah.
So that's a
psych. Love you.
So it's a diss on me too. Then I'm using Windows style IBM compatibles. However,
hey man,
they say
if yeah. you want computers that'll think for themselves and do updates automatically, when
right
you
in the middle of recording
to.
Recording a very very important podcast. Yeah,
yeah.
Then
totally
just
cool.
go for
go
a Windows computer.
Go for
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh my God! I've been doing this show for about 4 years, right? And I had never experienced like losing like a whole show file
until just now.
No, until like this month or last month. It happened with Sean Nelson and Shenandoah.
Oh, it happened with
no
them
way.
Too.
Yeah, happened with them, and then now with you guys.
Oh, we're on
what
it.
What the hell?
It's all right.
Things are starting to shit the bed.
We can turn the previous interview that is now lost to the ages into a compare and contrast about different software developers.
We could. That's a distinct possibility. Yeah.
So most people
I think you're
hear.
Talking to the foremost authorities on that too. So.
Exactly. Well, Mikey and Maddie Gervais joining me here in the backyard. You guys have this album out called now I'm totally
Harbor Island.
Harbor Island. Not even prepared for anything because everything closed down. And I've been listening to it a lot lately since I got my little hands on it.
Right.
And it's very good.
Thank you.
It's very good. Now, you guys were saying before in the pre-recorded session that you guys recorded this all in like a bedroom, right?
Yeah, this was all done in my house in our little back room, which at that point was just a little hole.
Right.
Where we did all of our recording, and yeah, it was like a flop house slash recording studio.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Did it ever get smelly in there?
I'm sure it did.
See, I told you I was going to say some of the stuff over again.
The same stuff.
That's right. Well, yeah, you know, it was one of those weird
things.
This is going
to be meta upon meta. This is going to be like seven layers of Inception going swirling around inside this episode here.
I was going to say, so the philosophy of the recording studio or the what's the whole adage of like make a neat workspace and workflow and all that and feng shui. A
clean, well-lit.
Yeah, right. Room. This the place where we recorded it had... none of those things. It was filled with PBR cans and pizza boxes and like, you know, beer bottles and old, you know, well beaten drumsticks under the bed and just shit everywhere of all different types.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the thing with studio spaces, you know, where people are playing music. Like, first of all, it has that distinct smell. It's right. like beer and sweat.
Yeah.
Right. Because everything you ultimately end up putting like some sort of egg crates on the wall or some sort of foam insulation or
right.
something like that, and it just absorbs that stench of music.
And you put the foam up there not because you know anything, like you have any idea what it's doing.
What it's doing? Yeah. Yeah.
We were just supposed because to you're have supposed foam to. Up
yeah.
there, right?
Most of the time you're just using foam that was like used as somebody's like mattress topper. Like, you know, like it's not acoustic foam.
No.
It's just something you think looks like acoustic foam should look like.
It looks professional to
like dead skin in it.
To 3-year-olds. Yeah.
An old Pearl Jam poster. Nobody listens to Pearl Jam anymore, but you still got it on the wall. You got to put it somewhere, right? Yeah, yeah.
Pearl Jam slam.
I like Pearl Jam.
No. I was just picking. It was low hanging fruit. I don't know. I just watched that that PJ 20 documentary. I was never like a huge Pearl Jam fan. But I did watch that PJ 20 documentary here just the other day, and I think I'm now a fan of theirs.
Yeah,
like that movie like made me.
It's hard not to
really
be
like it.
Really nice guys, I think.
Yeah, they seem super cool.
Yeah,
super cool.
Isn't it funny how when you give somebody the time of day and you give them a chance, you just find out that they they're pretty darn good.
You get man, f you.
See, now, okay, now we're bringing in the contentious good. Thing that we were supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
The second interview is not going to be fun.
No,
for
not at all.
Anybody.
Well, now we've all had our duplicity from Naked City Brewing, and and things are a little bit more loose. Yeah, yeah. So when did you guys record this album?
So what I mentioned before was we.
I'm so sorry. Oh my god!
It's really gonna be late for people that didn't hear the first.
All right. No, well, so we released it in May of this year, and we recorded it basically the year prior to that, over the course of a year and a half ish, in that little studio that I mentioned, and so we probably started in earnest in 20. I guess it would have been like late 2011.
Are you a fan of saying 2011? Or I thought we're still in the 2011 thing at this point. Like,
no, you can say 2011.
Is it okay to say 2011?
Yeah, yeah, totally,
2013?
Yeah. 2000? I've been saying 2013 a lot.
Have you really?
Yeah, I think it's easier.
It is easier.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're quite there
yet. It's just like shorter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, the fact that we're even saying 20 is going to be looked upon in the future as just being like, why are you bothering? Like, it's obvious that it's the 20th century.
Well, think about this, too. Like, what would you say?
It's obvious.
I'll tell you. Radio, automobiles. It's obviously it's the 20th.
Well, think about this, though. Like, would you, so, well, I guess, let's see. Yeah, never mind. That doesn't work. I was going to say something, and then I just stopped myself. My brain stopped myself and said, don't say that.
You said self-censorship?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is a podcast, man. You can do whatever.
I don't want to get an email. I don't want to get a hurtful email, okay? That's
from our
that's
from
the bottom
our parents.
Line.
Right. From my mom and dad.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you guys grew up here in Seattle, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Whereabouts in the city?
Wedgewood.
Wedgewood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that area, represent. Too. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. What was it like growing up here?
It was
growing
good.
Growing here.
Growing. We had pains, but
it was good. It was good. Seattle was good.
Yeah?
We had kind of like the perfect little half suburban, half urban upbringing. It was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Wedgewood is kind of like that. It's a nice, very neighborhoody feel.
Yeah, we had all of our best friends that lived around there, and we played on the street and stuff. And
we're able to walk to both our elementary school and our middle school.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when the time came, we could go see like punk rock concerts and whatever we wanted to. You know,
right, right.
Old enough to do that.
And yeah,
it was good. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. See, I didn't grow. I grew up in a small town over on the Kitsap Peninsula, and like. I mean, over there, it was fine. Like, kids would roam the streets all day, every day, until the sun went down. Was it like that over here in the city, too? Do you feel like you had a childhood like that?
In Wedgewood, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, it definitely felt like that.
Because now it feels like everybody's so afraid of, like, putting their kid out on the street by themselves. Like, there's a lot of fear surrounding letting your kid go outside without any parental supervision.
I feel like we might have been the last like real generation of humans, like, I'm scared to say that.
Take that, nephew and nieces.
Okay, they're all right. Yeah, they're actually I tell you, kids these days.
get off my lawn. Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's true though, like we never thought about it at all, and it's all based on the context too. When you're a kid, you feel like you're running around late at night when it's like 5:30 p.m.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
It is what it is, and we had some freedoms that maybe kids don't have now. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I hope they still do.
Do you see a difference though? I mean, obviously there's more people in Seattle now, but like, what was like I don't know, main differences from growing up here and what this this city has become.
Safeco Field, no Kingdom.
That's an easy
no
one.
No Sonics.
That sucks. You know, it's just the podment culture that we're actually experiencing. And it's really more within the last couple of years rather than the last, like, 10 years or 20 years. Like, it's this whole new massive development thing. Like,
yeah.
Mikey lives in this in Roosevelt, and he has this little mother-in-law apartment in the basement of an old house that's been there since probably, like, the 40s or 50s or something like that.
Oh, it's, like, 1906.
And, yeah, it's old. And so is all the other buildings around it. Like, they're all kind of that vintage. And before the last year, his backyard opened up into a parking lot, a gravel parking lot, which was great, you know. And
you could see the city skyline and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
From my backyard. It was
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now there's this apartment that's there, which is, are you familiar with apartments?
Yeah. Like, right.
So these people are living in, like, I walked in there when it was being constructed.
Extremely small studio spaces.
Extremely small.
Like 300 square feet, right?
We walked in there and we're like, where the hell are they going to live? Like, what is this? This is bizarre. But now they're all in there and it's super weird because they're looking down into my backyard. Like, I know, I'm like, oh, there's, like, bald guy on the top.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, this obsessive cleaning guy in the middle and, like, you know. A couple. I don't know how they live as a couple. In
so wait.
In the bottom.
So clearly, he's paying
clearly
a lot of
you're
attention
the
to
one
them.
Watching them.
Well, they're living in my backyard, basically. Like I'm a naturalist. You know, I have to observe what's around me, and like that's what I have to observe now. You know, but the funny thing is about that is like so. You know, we're experiencing this crunch of like density
totally.
In the city, and one of the songs on our album is called Goldfinch, and it's sort of about our next door neighbors that are you know older ladies that have been there for forever and they started out with this really confrontational thing like where like we'd be you know like really just playing soft guitar and singing little like folk songs in the backyard and they'd come over and be like I'm gonna file a noise complaint like just really didn't like us at all, you know. And we
this is true. Like this actually happened.
Yes, it's a real deal. So.
I like that he describes it as us quietly singing soft folk songs in the background.
When we're like more like game on the anyway,
Cypress Hill covers.
Hill covers. You know, normal stuff. But anyway, they came over and yelled at us and stuff. And so I made nice one day. I grow. You know, a garden back there too.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I had these really great tomatoes a couple years ago. And so I took them over some tomatoes. And at first when I brought the tomatoes over, they were like, you. And then she sort of started mellowing out and like, and realizing that I'm not like a horrible person, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And started telling me about how long she's lived in this spot. And she's literally like been there since before the freeway was there, you know, and she was like, and over there was Mr. Johnson and we used to ride our horses around here in the street. And
holy shit.
And that was the, you know, the Williams family. And, you know, they had John and Jacob and Billy in the war. And like, you know, she just started like downloading this like neighborhood history and also this sort of like, you know, pent up like loneliness that she had, you know? So it was really heavy. And
that seems that's crazy to me because like I said, I grew up in this small town, right? Like I can always go back to my hometown and not much has changed there. And I love that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like I love it how it's like, it's stayed kind of, you know, somewhat the same place.
Yeah.
Right.
And
there's definitely more houses, you know, here and there, but like, it's definitely still that small town feel on the Puget Sound, you know?
Yeah.
Like here though, like I couldn't imagine like growing up here like you guys did and then walking down to Ballard, you know, now and seeing like the Sunset Bowl being gone and being replaced with some like neon colored apartment complex. Like it's just so it makes me sad now and I feel like if I grew up here it would make me even like
it's kind of
more
weird.
Sad.
You know, like,
I'd be very depressed.
Like I think that it's sort of a little bit depressing. And the funny thing is, like we sort of like took these ladies the way that they were, you know, like talking about what used to be in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were, you know, we were respectful of that, but we're like, yeah, yeah, okay, whatever, man, it's the future and everything. But the funny
the
thing
is... The future's now, lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, lady.
But the funny thing is now we're the ones that are feeling this press from this new experience of the city.
Well, so it's definitely expanding very quickly.
It's happening real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this density, which we're all supposed to love, right?
Right, right.
You know? But then there's no community...
Mm-hmm. You know, when everything's so stale too, like Ballard, you know, in particular, I'm sure you guys have hung out in Ballard quite a bit. Like, you know, it used to be this little Norwegian kind of neighborhood, and there were some bars there on the main strip. Now it's just like, it's multi-use buildings, right? It all looks the same. It's kind of industrial and brick and metal. And
there's
yeah.
a hot yoga studio in the basement of every one of these new
yep.
apartments.
Yep. Hot slash, yoga, man.
Yeah, oh,
it's hot yoga. Well, let's talk a little bit. I'm sorry, we got kind of off track there, but let's talk about you guys a little bit. I want to kind of know how being in a band with like your brother is.
Oh,
like, do you
right.
guys fight? Do you guys get into this, into the band room? Is there like sibling rivalry that goes on?
There's not sibling rivalry per se. There's more like bickering. That's the thing that happens between the two of us.
Yeah.
That if anybody's around it, they just have to kind of like, well, hopefully forgive us for it.
And just realize that your brother is and
because,
that this has
yeah,
been happening forever.
We feel entitled and comfortable being complete dicks to each other,
yeah, yeah,
because we
yeah.
know that we're not going to really, like, you know, ever hurt each other's feelings any really, you know, and so that probably gets a little bit annoying to people who are around us.
I don't think so. I mean, the only thing that I can think of that's coming to mind is like, why don't you answer your fucking phone, Maddie?
Yeah. Well, that gets us right back into apartments, which I'm happy about here. If I can't answer my phone because the damn cellular reception because of these apartments coming up around where I live, they're blocking.
Are you serious? They're blocking the signal.
Me, yeah.
When From I was place? Young, the cell service around here was excellent. But nowadays, all these new buildings.
Well, like I said to you guys before too, this is something that we recorded earlier. Well, I guess you can't say it was recorded because it was not. It's not there anymore.
That was just
right
to know each other.
Yeah, yeah. That was just basically the practice round.
Right.
But like I could never foresee myself even. Well, maybe if like I came from like a very musical family, like I would be able to be in a band with like my brother. But like music has always seemed very personal to me,
mm-hmm.
and intimate. And I don't mm-hmm. know if I could share that type of intimacy with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
You're smiling right now because I picture you picturing me
being
kissing my brother, which is not cool, man.
No, that's definitely not not what I was picturing.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
But now I am. Thank you. Your brother's very
just,
handsome.
Just putting it in there. Just slipping it right in. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
No, slipping the thought into... Oh, come on. Oh, man. Maybe we should...
Let's start over.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to scrap here. This. Scrap this whole thing. You guys want to come back tomorrow when we're all sober and try this again? Yeah. So how is it being... Like, when did you guys start playing music together?
Well, that's... yeah, that's a good question. I guess we sort of started actually playing music together when Mikey was probably about 13 and I was probably 11 or 12-ish.
And this is when Mikey, you were kind of teaching him how to play guitar.
Yeah, yeah. So we had, I had picked it up, you know, via basically skipping class or not really skipping class in music class in middle uh-huh. school, but just moving to a different room while the rest of the class was doing what they were supposed to be doing. I was upstairs like playing these cellos that they had upstairs, and that was the first stringed instrument I played, and I was like, oh, this is pretty awesome. I like this. And you know, I was
getting any kind of sound out of it that you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Experimenting yeah. that way. And then I got this video that was like a super nerd guy teaching you how to play guitar and
right.
Pretty Women and stuff and all the different chords and everything. But the
But House of the Rising Sun.
House of the Rising Sun and et cetera. So I got like the basics for guitar down probably, well, I don't know, like a couple of months before Maddie did. But
yeah.
But we had this download day. It was probably about an hour or something where I was, where me and Maddie both remember this as this magical moment, you know, where all of the stuff that I had learned on guitar, I downloaded to Maddie, who had never really played the guitar at all.
Yeah, yeah.
In just about an hour of yelling at each other in these weird sort of weird accents and
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, it was sort of like an Italian slash Middle Eastern accent. He was like,
it was,
no, you, I can't even, it's like, no, no, wrong note, wrong note. I can't even remember what it was, but he was just kind of like screaming at me.
It's probably really culturally inappropriate.
I noticed that it was Italian and Middle Eastern and whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, it was some weird foreign accent that really didn't actually apply to a real culture anywhere in the world. But he was just screaming at me this whole entire time.
Right, right.
And forcing me to put my fingers in the right place. And I learned 3 or 4 chords that day and...
No, you learned everything I knew at that point.
Right, which was 3 or 4 chords.
Yeah, but since then, he's gotten better than me at guitar. Well, yeah, in certain
everything.
Aspects.
At everything.
At everything. At being alive. And he's more handsome.
And so nice. were your parents musical? Did you guys kind of have something to work off of in that realm?
Our parents... are definitely musical. They don't play instruments, but they raised us on music, and it's always been a huge part of their lives. Like our mom went to go see the Beatles in 1964.
Whoa, she saw the Beatles.
Yeah, and you know, and they've all been both mom and dad have been just super into music for the rest for forever. And so, and our grandparents before them on both sides were big into music. Like our dad's dad was a jazz saxophonist, and our mom's dad was a vocalist, like a kind of crooner vocalist. He sang in the style of like Bing Crosby.
Really?
Yeah, he's really good.
Whoa!
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you've had it. You've been surrounded by it pretty much, even though your parents didn't like play musical instruments.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you earlier, my dad played the steering wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
On our V-dub Vanagon when we were kids and wore it down to like where it was paper thin, like, you know, just this perfectly worn
steering wheel. Well, I was telling you guys too, that's where I learned how to do Wipeout.
Exactly.
The drum roll from Wipeout from my dad, because he was just constantly playing that on every surface in the house, which actually, like, kind of, now that I'm thinking about it too, like, kind of got me in trouble, like with my teachers a lot, because I would always just do that on my desk.
Oh, you're doing Wipeout. And teachers should be like, hey, that guy's got the rhythm. Hey, you know, I mean, that should be a cue to the teacher, don't you think?
Right,
they're like, hey, this guy's doing this thing. Let's explore that. You know?
Yeah. Quit being a jerk, teachers.
Yeah. Teachers.
Right?
Be cool.
look at this guy who's twerking out. Like,
I just feel it. Okay.
Well, let's all pay attention to this guy who's frantically putting his fingers on the desk. Yeah.
Look how good he is at flipping that skateboard thing. That
oh, my God. Did you guys ever do those, the finger skates?
I'm too old for that.
Yeah.
I think I missed it a little bit, too. But, yeah.
But they're really annoying.
I never got the point of them. It's like, what, really? You're going to skate with your fingers?
Right on, man.
When you can't skate with your feet. I don't understand.
It's a full immersion lifestyle.
That's right. Skate or die. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's do this. Let's go with our second musical break. We're going to play the song "Of All the Limbs to Cling To" by Mikey and Maddie, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Let's keep our fingers crossed that this saves. Don't breathe. We'll be right back.
Just attempting now to make a point, in a phrase someone more clever must have coined, in some greeting card, completely colored balloon. Find yourself believing in parachutes still yet to the summer sand, they stain the shades of maroon. And after all you left behind, who am I to demand of you anyway? All the secrets you keep in your mind.
Yeah. That's so awesome, man.
It was pretty great.
What's Panama like?
Panama's crazy and chaotic. Like, well, Panama City, you know, which is where you have to go as the hub for anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And you're traveling in the country, is just, you know, sort of your typical Latin American crazy city. Turkeys for sale while people are yelling and taxis are driving by honking and, you know, a million things happening all at once. Just input, like crazy. But, you know, other places in the country are just beautiful. There's like tourism really hasn't started up there as much as it has in other places.
It's still pretty cheap.
It's pretty cheap. Yeah. It's not like the cheapest, but it's reasonable. You know, I'd say it's probably about half as expensive as it is traveling in the United States. You know what I mean? Which is good.
Right.
So
on.
We had a, you know, really nice hotel for $60 a night. You know, we ended up staying on these islands that are screensaver islands, you know, like, they're one of the choices of the screensavers when you first get your computer. Like white sand,
four palm trees,
nothing else. Turquoise water, just beautiful.
That's, you know, awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's really cool, man.
Stayed in little huts. And
how long were you gone?
We were gone for 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah. So
got some time to just do nothing on a beach, and then we ended up accidentally getting into a Robert De Niro movie.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because I saw this picture posted on Facebook, and I was like, is that fucking real? Like, did they really do that? Well, okay, so what? Okay, how did this happen?
So we were being tourists,
yeah,
in the Panama Canal, which, right, incidentally, is exactly like the Ballard Locks, like, really not.
So you get down there and you're just like, I've seen this shit before.
Yeah, it's like the Ballard Locks with a little train that pulls the boats through. Like, there's little trains on the side that help.
Really?
And the boats are bigger.
Yeah. They're much, much bigger.
Giant freighters. But it was, being from Seattle, it wasn't such a big deal to see international commerce happening. You know, right, what I mean? But
we live in a port.
Yeah. So yeah, we see this stuff. But so we're just hanging out in the canal. And this lady comes up to us and is like, hey, we had a bunch of extras. We're filming this movie here today, and we had a bunch of extras that decided or didn't show up. Would you guys be interested at all in being in this movie?
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, my scam brain, my scam meter goes off, and I'm like, wait a minute, this sounds phony. And then, you know, and she kind of gets that too. And so she was like, well, here, look, I'll show you the set. And so she takes us to this room, and it's set up like a press conference in New York, like 70s style. So it's legit, you know, and I'm like, if this is a scam, this is going to be the most.
Why didn't they just record it in New York? Why did they have to record this in?
So the movie is about Roberto Duran, who is a Panamanian boxer. So they had to film a lot of this stuff.
Gotcha.
And rather than, you know, doing these little mini scenes.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, we ended up being extras. We were like, okay, sure, why not? You know, so they took us down to the costume place, and so they set us up in these 70s reporter get-ups, and it was awesome. They love me.
Tell them, yeah, the movie perfector. What do they call you?
Yeah, there? well, so like I have long hair and a beard, and I look like a 70s dude, kind of anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And everybody else down there was like, sort of, you know, whatever, like, normal looking dudes. But anyway, so anytime there was a line or anything where all the extras were in line, they'd like point to me with this like look in their eyes, and they're like, you come to the front, you know. And this is all happening in Spanish, which makes it extra fun. And you know, so like they split us up, they send us to makeup, and like and they're like, and the gay Panamanian dude comes over, and he's like, you know, fluffing my hair, and he's like, es perfecto, es puro setentas, this guy is perfect, you know. they love me so much, so they sent me to the front of every single line that
holy
I was in.
Shit.
Yeah. And they, you know, set me up in polyester, like,
yeah
full deck out polyester gear, gave me this like old school camera, you know, and a
so you're gonna be in the movie.
I'm gonna be in the movie, yeah,
unless they cut that scene.
I hope they don't cut the scene.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if they don't, I'll be in the scene.
That's so funny. Yeah. And oh
then,
my god.
So they take us to the room, and then you know, we're sitting there in this press conference, and Robert De Niro's the coach for
he's there.
So I'm sitting there watching him act, you know, which is, it was really interesting to see, and it was it's a lot like recording music.
So how far away are you from Robert De Niro at this point?
Oh, like 6 or 7 feet, like,
holy
he's
shit,
right there.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah, no, there were several moments where like I was the only one for him, you know, we were looking at each other by accident, like got these awkward eye contact moments where you're like, I'm looking at Robert De Niro, I better like look away or whatever. You know, super weird. Yeah,
I wonder how often, like, I always wonder that, like, when I don't tell my wife, but when like I see like a, you know, a cute girl out in the wild or something like that, you know, and you're like, just kind of, you're kind of looking at her, and she turns around and looks back at you, and you all of a sudden just like act like you're not looking. That's got to happen to people like Robert De Niro all the time.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
You know, like what I mean, that's just got to be kind of weird.
Well, because you want to stare at the guy because it's freaking Robert De Niro, you know, it's totally weird, you know. And the funny thing is, he looked like my grandpa. Like he looked a lot like, he looked like Grandpa Lee.
De Niro looks old. Robert De Niro slam.
It's not a slam for Robert De Niro. I mean, it's more.
Your grandpa was a good looking guy. That's all there is to it. Yeah.
No, man, but he seemed like a real sincere, cool guy. I didn't get to talk to him.
That's pretty cool, though. You get to see him actually acting, too. Like the process how that all works out. That's pretty sweet.
It was exactly like recording, you know, like recording music. Because
you're just taking it. You're doing it over and over and over again until you get it right.
It's a lot of setup in the front end. They got to get everything right and ready. And then you just do 5 or 6 takes, you know, yeah. And then you wait until you get the magic take that seems to make sense. And
so basically, you guys are Robert De Niro.
We are.
Is what I'm getting.
Basically, yeah. Mikey has been blessed in Panama by Robert De Niro's presence. And because of that, it transfers to us and anyone who listens to the podcast.
Right.
So in a sense, we're all Robert De Niro right now.
Whoa. That just blew my mind apart.
You
right there. Yeah.
Are Robert De Niro.
So while Mikey's in Panama, you were doing something cool yourself, Maddie. You are in a relationship with Charity of the Head and the Heart.
That's right.
And you had the chance to open up for them up where?
Yeah, that was the funny thing.
Victoria or something, or Vancouver?
Vancouver, BC. Yeah. So I'm like at work downtown. I work at the art museum when I'm not making music. And I got a call during lunchtime like, oh, shit, our opening act can't get through the border because he has some kind of like an assault charge or something like that.
What? Who was the opening act?
Which was basically like he had gotten into a fight in college and the guy that, you know what I mean? Like
shit.
Somebody pressed charges because it was like, you know.
No, the opening act was Brother Lynch, huh?
So anyway, he can't make it in and he's from out of town anyways. Uh-huh. And so I'm like, oh shit, okay, I'll go and do it. And so I went up there and drove up there with their publicist's dad and his Prius and stopped in Camino Island, cruised up there, got through the border as fast as I've ever gotten through the border in my entire life. It's a Monday night, right? So
right.
You get to the border at like 5 o'clock or something like that, and there's nobody there. It was kind of awesome.
Welcome to the country, eh? Yeah. Come on in. Come on through, bro.
Oh, you're an artist? Okay. Yeah, come on.
That's cool. Okay. I'm an artist, too. Yeah.
So I got there with like a few minutes to go before the doors opened and sound checked and just, you know. So I only had about maybe 10 minutes to like make sure that I was ready to do it. And then,
Then,
you know, the venue starts filling up. There's like, I don't play solo shows ever, really. So it was kind of a weird, fun challenge for me, like on a Monday night. Where I'd normally just be at home, like, watching Daily Show or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
so how many people are in this, where were you playing? Was it a stadium or
it's
what?
A, no, what it's, a, it's a it's a 3,000-person kind of
theater
venue. Yeah, it's like a theater.
Okay,
theater,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, just like 3,000 people.
So are you nervous?
Yeah, totally nervous, because I know, like I said, I don't really usually play solo, so it's kind of funny and weird. But I made a rule for myself about a couple of years ago to like at least always be remedially prepared for that exact situation.
Yeah,
for no reason really. I was just like, I want to always be able to, like, if I have to play a solo show, just because I want to keep up on, you know, it's like a rule of keeping up on my craft, I guess.
Right, right.
One chance. Do not miss your chance.
Yeah, Eminem style thing.
This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
So, yeah, so I got through it okay. I hadn't been, like, thinking about it very much, and so I went through it, and it, you know, it went really well. People were really good.
I'm starting to think.
Canadians are really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really they are. Nice. Uh-huh. They are, yeah.
A girl pulled me off of the stage. I had to jump down, like, 6 feet to give her the set list for the show, if that's any indication of the... how well I really did.
Well, that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Were you kind of jealous, Mikey, that he got to do that?
Well, you know, I was like hobnobbing with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, you got to do your own cool shit.
Yeah, you know.
We had a good week in the Gervais Brothers camp.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So where do you guys want to end up with music? Is this something that, you know, you can foresee happening for the rest of your lives here?
I hope that we get to be like our grandpa and our cousin's grandpa, which they, you know, every single time that our families got together, these guys would be singing together and
right.
And you know, so I don't think we have a choice in the matter, really. We're going to play music for
that's it. I mean,
it's going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah.
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 We're going to continue to, like, put out records and create music. We've done a lot of it over the last many years. We've put out tons of different albums under different names and And we'll continue to probably do that for the rest of our lives, even if it, you know, even if we
even
only
if
sell,
it kills us.
Yeah, even if we only sell, you know, 100 copies and 50 of them to our parents. You know,
yeah, yeah.
That's the way we roll.
But is the dream there, though? Like, are you guys, like, you know, let's... Because I feel like your guys' music is definitely consumable.
Mm-hmm.
By a large audience. It's just all about getting it out there, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the hope?
Like, oh, definitely.
That you can do
yeah.
this
oh, yeah.
For a job?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That'd always be, you know, yeah, we do as much as we can and, you know, we try to play as many shows as possible, put ourselves out there as often as possible because
yeah.
it's,
yeah.
you know, there's music for both of us has been responsible for the best parts of our lives, like the best things that we've ever really done or accomplished have been a result of really putting ourselves out there and trying, you know, to make music and,
cool,
do, and
cool.
do a good job with it.
Yeah.
As best
yeah.
as we can. So,
do you guys tour or is there a tour planned or anything like that coming up soon?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. I would really like to, get something set up this next year.
Should we do
sometime
that?
Do
you want to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's a great idea.
We should
it's
do
been
that.
Decided. Yeah. It's been decided right here in the backyard.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's really hard to do if you're setting it up yourself, and we've been on these kind of tours before where mm-hmm. if you set it up yourself and you don't really have a lot of help, or if you're not the most savvy people in the world, which we're definitely not, like you can end up playing these sort of they're very fun. These tours that are very fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you play in front of, you know, anywhere from
15 people,
two to 15 people. And, you know, and not that that matters, but it's like, you know, you can't do that.
You know, it's like, you can't play these 1500 person venues like for that long, you know, before you're just like, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. There's something, but there's like, there is, I don't know why that awkward pause just happened, but I'm
just
gonna.
It was a good one, though.
It was a good one.
It didn't
make
any sense. That's the best part. That's why I was just like, okay.
It's like, no, let's go with
this.
We're
going to go.
Let's try this out just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit longer.
People at home were like, oh, God.
Cringing. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens a lot on this show, I think.
Really?
Like a lot. Yeah. People listen to it and they just cringe throughout the whole thing. It's like, oh God, he just erased half of that show again. Yeah. but touring, like in my mind, I never went on a tour, and there's it's always in there as like a you know, this real big fish, you know, that's just out there that I can daydream about.
Uh-huh.
You know, from time to time,
yeah.
you know, of what a tour actually is. But then, like, having guys like you come on and having other bands and comedians and stuff and actually tell the the reality of touring, like, yeah, we're not, you know, having sex with prostitutes and lighting couches on fire and throwing them out windows. We're actually going to bed at, you know, 12 o'clock
right.
in a van.
Well,
yeah.
I think Maddie definitely didn't light any couches on fire last time we were on tour.
No.
But that's
definitely
all I
didn't.
Say about that.
It wasn't in the budget. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fun. I wish we could go on more tours. I wish we could be on tour all the time.
You enjoy it?
Yeah.
Enjoy being on the road and hanging out with your bros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, all of the things that you would hope it to be, aside from all of the cliches like you mentioned, are there. And it's amazing. You're hanging out with the people that you like the most, doing
mm-hmm.
the thing
mm-hmm.
that you love to do the most in front of people, hopefully every time. And, it's pretty magic and you get a change of scenery every night, which is like the exact opposite of what we're all used to, going to day jobs and, you know, living in apartments and doing that whole thing. It's an escape.
Goddamn
and
apartments, man. So
So. Just makes you sound like you're from Boston. Like, gotta get this great new apartment.
I got
like
this
guys.
Apartment.
So,
it totally does.
It was awesome. Yeah. I was practicing my music in this apartment.
So really our version of tours is like we go to Bellingham and then Wenatchee and then maybe like Tacoma or something. Like that's how our tours go.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really get – maybe Portland.
We got down to Orange County back in the curtains for you.
We did, yeah.
And how did those go?
Good, really good. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, that's the weird part is that you always, you know, put on a good show and they usually go really pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was one show that we did a terrible job in like Fresno or something like that.
No, that was in
LA?
No, it was
Yeah, it was Davis, UC Davis. Davis. Yeah, we just destroyed.
But it wasn't really that bad. That was the one show I chose to record on my little digital recorder, and it was like the meltdown show. But it really wasn't all that bad, like because Maddie ended up my guitar exploded, and Maddie ended up doing a Frank Sinatra cover.
Really?
That was actually pretty good.
I haven't heard that. Is it good?
Oh, it's awesome. You haven't heard that?
I played some cheesy Frank Sinatra cover just to, like, you know, fill in the space while I was trying to fix this.
No, what sounded really horrible was, like, only maybe a hiccup of 7 minutes at the most. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's
like,
fantastic.
And in our minds, we're like, oh, my God, we're really blown it this time. But it's everybody's got 7 minutes.
God, that's got to be your worst nightmare, though, like having an instrument that craps out on tour. That's horrible.
It was kind of annoying, but that's sort of I've gotten used to it, I guess.
Yeah,
it happens a lot, huh?
Well, when you play these like gear from the '60s, like it's just kind of guaranteed to happen. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, exactly.
All these guitars around the wall here are from the '60s.
Yes, yes. Yeah. None of them work,
but they look really.
They look awesome though. Yeah, totally. So, are you guys working on new stuff right now too?
Yeah,
new stuff coming down the pipes.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot. A new material that we're working on.
Excellent.
You
recording it yet, or what's happened?
Not yet. The music studio is too clean now. We need
some more beer cans. Do you want to take the beer cans that I have from people who come over here and drink?
Bring them over to my house, and then that'll like maybe we can, you know, that'll get things going. We have to have a party, like a real.
There you go.
Really crazy party.
Yeah.
No, yeah, so we're like, while Mikey was in Panama, I decided, okay, I'm going to start demoing a bunch of stuff. So I've been turning on the mic that I have and just recording things live and like trying to get like as many songs as possible, just like shitty MP3s of everything. And then we can and then I want to have Mikey do the same with the stuff that he's written when he now that
I've
he's
already
back
done
in
it,
town.
Man.
And, yeah, he's done. He's good.
Yeah.
And so, I want to do it different than the last time we did it, actually. We did it all in a, you know, our little bedroom apartment studio thing. And this time I want to go to a real studio and kind of come at it with a more of a sort of rock and roll approach. Like,
well, I was kind of off the cuff. When you guys said that you recorded this current album in this room by yourselves, like, I was actually surprised that it wasn't done in a major studio.
Oh, really?
Thanks. Yeah, I think it sounds awesome. Do that again.
Yeah. I guess that's the trick is that I want to be
sounds
able to
like great.
Do the same things musically, the same use the same ideas, but just do it in a little bit more of a professional environment, maybe, where they actually know what the hell they're doing. Like all of that was recorded with one microphone, you know, and I just do it based on what it sounds like.
Really?
So, wow. Yeah, just using the old ears.
That's amazing. That's amazing, man. Well, you guys did it. You guys did a fantastic job. And I really appreciate you coming on the show and chatting with me for a little while. I am very sorry that we lost that first half of the show.
This is just the tribute to
this is the tribute to the first half.
To the
that
first
we
tribute
lost.
To the, it was pretty epic. It was
the best interview ever.
It was
ever.
Clever on all sides.
Yeah.
We didn't get it.
We were three Bob Dylans.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Three Bob Dylans, man.
But this is a good tribute to the best interview ever.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is like
that song tribute,
right?
From
Tenacious D.
Tenacious D.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the best interview, or it's the best interview about the best interview in the world.
Exactly.
So we're going to go out today. Thank you guys once again for stopping by.
Yeah,
you can find out more about, I don't have it pulled up right now. What's the website? Where can we find out more about Mikey and Maddie?
Well, you can just Google search us. We're on all the normal channels like SoundCloud and Facebook and Bandcamp, and you can buy the record on iTunes and Amazon and all that stuff. So it's out there.
Rad. Yeah.
Harbor Island, it's called.
And it is fantastic. Take my word for it. And we're going to go out today with the song Second Son. Which actually has, let's not go out yet. I do want to hear kind of the backstory on this song. You told me a little bit about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, the whole concept of Second Son, arised from the fact that, our dad actually, was really the second son. He was, the second child that my, the second boy that my grandmother gave birth to, the first being, one that died in infancy. And
oh, wow.
So the song is sort of a conceptual thing about what our grandfather, who had Alzheimer's for a lot, the last probably 10 years of his life, kind of trying to put yourself into his shoes and how your mind works at that time.
Uh-huh.
And what it must feel like to try to explain yourself and try to communicate emotions and things that you need to say
when
you're on that internalized loop. And so I'm kind of thinking about what sort of thought process he'd be going through and talking to this second son that didn't ever really live.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second son actually, no, the second son did live.
The second son lived.
That's our dad. it's a weird, yeah, it even blows my, it kind of screws
yeah,
me up too, trying to.
No, it's an, and I wanted you to talk about that because it's an amazing concept.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a really cool, story.
Thanks.
And I think it needs to be made into a movie. Like, right, like, yeah, we need to get Lynn Shelton on that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, we made a video for it that's like pretty cool because it's like,
you have a video for this?
Series. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's and the it's a Maddie had the idea for
it. I didn't even know that there was a video.
Yeah. Elizabeth had is a really great photographer, and she took all of her photographs for the past like 4 or 5 years or something and squished them all into this one video. So there's like, you know, 800 photographs or something that flash through just like snap, 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 snap. Snap. So,
cool.
So you kind of get this like feeling of, I don't know, sort of that,
well, the passage of time.
Right.
Yeah. And these little stories being little pictures.
Being
little
told snippets. In images, yeah. You know, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know that existed. I'm going to have to check that out as well. So, check out the video for Second Son. You can find us, Aaron, at air-raid.net. You can email me there, or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook. Please go and like the show there. Thanks for stopping by and listening to us this week. Next week, we'll have Andrew Jocelyn. You guys know him?
Yeah.
Great dude. From Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. He'll be stopping by the studio to talk about his recent world tour. So tune in next week. This is Second Son by Mikey and Maddie. Thanks once again, guys.
Thank you.
This has been a lot of fun talking to you.
Real pleasure.
Okay, have a great week, everybody. No.
have a choice in any other details that I'd remember. Rustling of falling leaves and traffic noise, and holding hands around the lake in December. Now forgetful as ever, I'm sorry to say.